share a few things with you. First of all, let me make sure that you understand today we would like for you to take your poinsettias with you at the end of the service instead of waiting till tomorrow, because this area is all going to be transformed for our 5 o'clock service tomorrow, which is our family and children's service, although everyone is invited to be a part of it. So go ahead and take your poinsettias today. It'll be fine. And then we'll transform things back for the 8 o'clock service tomorrow night for Christmas Eve. I also wanted to mention to you, if you'd like to have more information about the Christmas Eve children's live nativity and spontaneous pageant, we have information in the bulletin. Please invite your friends and neighbors and other children. We're going to have costumes. And if you'd like, you can even come in period costume if you'd like to come to that service. And it's really going to be a very meaningful, fun, and joyous time of Jesus' birth tomorrow at 5 o'clock. The 8 o'clock service will be a little bit more adult, sort of adultish. Is there such a word?
Oriented.
Traditional. There you go. That's it. Traditional. So I hope to see you at one or both of those services tomorrow. This morning, the altar flowers are given and are placed in honor of Jim and Sue Trotz. Are you ready for this? 50th anniversary. Holy moly. So happy anniversary to both of you. Right down here. Wow, now that really is something. 50 years ago in this church. That's amazing. So, let's see. One last announcement. Well, two more. One is the Altar Guild will be dismantling Advent on Thursday the 27th at 9:30 in the morning. So if you would like to help to put everything away, please come Thursday morning, the 27th at 9:30, and they would love to have your help. Speaking of help, if any of you are able and would like to help us to dismantle and move some things around here after worship, we'd love to have your help to sort of transform this area for our 5 o'clock service tomorrow. And the last thing I wanted to mention, tonight at 6 o'clock, our sister church, Salem United Methodist Church, they're having their candlelight service tonight at 6. Our own Rick Adams will be sharing a message, and I believe that Bobby Tarpley is going to be singing. Am I right? Yes. And I believe our own James is going to be playing. So we would love to see you tonight at 6 o'clock at our sister church, Salem United Methodist. I think those are all the announcements. Did anybody have anything else? Am I hearing things? Okay. All right. Let's prepare our hearts and minds as we go to God in worship. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, come. Fill us with your love and your grace. Kindle a fire for your love in us, God. And help us, God, to release the outside world for this time together and focus on you and your love and your grace. Receive our worship. May it be pleasing in your sight, O God, and may we be blessed by your Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Beautiful. If Lamar and Carol Hamrick and Brenda and Robert Witten would come forward to light our Advent candle.
We experience love because God loves us. We experience love most fully when we turn away from self, turn toward God, and allow Christ to be born in our hearts.
My dear people, let us love one another, since love comes from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. God's love for us was revealed when God sent into the world His only Son so that we could have life through Him. This is the love I mean. Not our love for God, but God's love for us when He sent His Son to be the sacrifice that takes our sin away. My dear people, since God has loved us so much, we too should love one another. God is love, and anyone who lives in love lives in God, and God lives in him.
Jesus told his disciples and told us, as the Father have loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. John 15:9. Today we light the purple candle of love. We experience when Jesus is in our hearts, we have love.
May we pray a prayer the Apostle Paul prayed for his friends. May God give you the power through his Spirit for your hidden self to grow strong, so that Christ may live in your hearts through faith, and then, planted in love and built on love, you will with the saints have the strength to grasp the breadth and length and height and depth until knowing the love of Christ, which is beyond all knowledge, you are filled with all the fullness of God. Ephesians 3:17-19.
Joy, joy, joy.
If you would stand as you are able for our opening hymn, "O Come All Ye Faithful," number 234. Join together in our profession of faith, the Apostles' Creed, number 881 in your hymnals. Church of God, what do we believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Please hear these holy words from the book of Micah, chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. Marshal your troops now, city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty in the name of the Lord, his God, and they will securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Kathy.
As we come to our time of the pastoral prayer, if you will take note of those who have lost loved ones recently, we extend our love and grace to the Wallace family, the Kronowskis, and the Tarpleys, as well as any others who have lost loved ones close to Christmas in the past or this year. And so we want to lift all of those. There are others. I will mention that Jane Claire has had a bout with pneumonia. She is on the mend, but please keep her in your prayers. And I also should mention Gail O'Neill is struggling with some eye issues and being able to see, so please keep Gail in your prayers as well. Please make note of any other prayer concerns that you have and send those in, and we will add them to our list. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy and precious God, we give you thanks for this glorious day. We thank you, God, for the beauty, the love, the peace, the hope, the joy that fills us during this season. A time, God, when we are focused on giving, when we are focused on sharing your love, when we are focused on magnifying your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for his birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. And God, we thank you for the opportunity to be together this morning as we share our concerns with you, God. For those families who have lost loved ones, Lord, we pray that you would bless them, that you would give them special strength and comfort during this season. God, for those who are suffering illness, we ask, Lord, that you would pour down your holy blessing upon them. Let the medications work in the ways that they need to, God, and allow them to be well. God, we pray for the lost and the lonely. We pray for the one no one else is praying for, as well as the one who doesn't think they need you at all, oh God. God, we lift to you our nation. May it be one nation under God, under your rule, God. God, we lift to you our church, that you would bless us and guide us in the coming months. God, we pray for our military, wherever they might be serving, as well as our first responders, those who work in hospitals, those who are firefighters, those who are able and willing to help us, even to the point that they don't get to spend Christmas with their own families. We give you thanks for them. Give them a special blessing. And God, we ask you to bless each of us as we boldly pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If we have any sparklers in the room, come on down. Okay, children. Miss Sally is ready for those who are going to children's church, and the others back to your seats, please. And if our ushers and acolytes will come to receive this morning's offering. Let us pray. Oh God, all that we have and all that we are is because of your blessing. We ask you, Lord, to receive these gifts. May they be multiplied and used for the glory of your kingdom here on earth. In Christ's holy name, amen. Thank you, choir. Thank you, James. That was beautiful. Would you pray with me? Oh God, as we have heard your words from Micah and we now hear your words from Luke, we ask that our hearts, our spirits, and our lives would be changed by your grace. May your Holy Spirit speak to us this day. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds together be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Our scripture today comes from Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 39. This is after Mary has been visited by the angel. Hear the word of God for us today. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Advent. Advent. A time of anticipation and waiting has drawn us nearer and nearer to the Christ child. But wait, we're being drawn to the waiting for the already. Because the babe born in a stable stall was born a very long time ago, right? We already know that. We know what happens after Jesus was born, all the way through his death and even up until today. We know that God was and still is alive in us and through us, and God is good. Amen? Amen. Our scripture today focuses on two women who have been given a gift by God, Mary and Elizabeth, young and old, two unlikely people chosen and blessed by God. After the angel tells Mary that she will bear a son, the Son of God, Mary questions, how can this be? All things are possible by God. And to show her how God works, the angel informs her that her relative Elizabeth, previously barren, which means she could not have children, was in her 6th month of pregnancy. The news reassured Mary that she was not alone. At least one person whom she loved would understand and support her on this very difficult road ahead. Mary was so excited to share her news and to talk with Elizabeth that she rushed to visit with her. The scripture tells us that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit at the sight of Mary. Can you imagine, just for a moment, that excitement? Mary's humility, love, obedience, and faithfulness are what brought Mary favor by God. God knew her heart and her faithfulness to him. And God uses that same heart and faithfulness to give his son a mother who would teach those same traits to him and prepare him for the life that he would live. Mary chose to accept the challenge. She could have said, nah, I don't think so. But she didn't. And God took care of the details. That's hard for us, isn't it? We want God to come to us right now. I know when I say, God, I need your help with this or that, I want God to hurry it up. Don't you? You can say, yes, I sure do, Liza. Because I know you do. Mary just put all of her trust, sort of like a child. Have you ever, you know, a child's trust is huge. When a child comes up and gives you a hug, or a child comes up and looks into your eyes with those big eyes, blue or brown or green or hazel, and they know that they can trust that you're going to take care of them, that you're going to help them. This is how Mary saw God. She saw God as a child. And her faith knew that God would take care of all the details. God, who continues to present humankind with seemingly impossible challenges, is still in the business of working out the difficult details. Mary wasn't expecting to become a mother so soon in her life. She wasn't expecting to find joy and peace in her world where the tables had been turned upside down. She was supposed to be a bride first, before becoming a mother. But in this new life she was carrying, she found magnificent love. Magnificent love. This was the time when she moved from who she thought she was going to be to who God called her to be. This is God fulfilling her at a time when she could show her magnificent love to God. But Mary, in her song, you know, Luke, we learned in our Advent study that Luke's gospel is one that's always singing. It's like a Broadway musical. And here Mary is singing this song of praise to God, but it's not all about Mary. She's also praising God for being God. Have you ever been praying, you said, thank you, God, for being God? We don't say that, do we? Thanks be to God for God. Do you ever say that? I know I've said it a couple of times, and then I go, wait a minute. But she was thankful to God because of God's strength. Because God brings down the haughty and the unfaithful. Because God provides good things to the faithful. Because God knew that Israel needed a Savior, and God provided one. She prays God because God fulfills his promises. What if you had been Mary? What would you have done? You know that song, Mary, Did You Know? I don't think she did know. She didn't know that the baby that she carried within her would one day be hung on a cross. She didn't know that the baby that she carried would one day be beaten. She didn't know that the baby that she carried within her would be out on the roads, living life without her right there with him. You know, us mamas, we like to keep our babies close, and even closer, our grandchildren. Would you have been so humble and willing to have your whole world turned upside down? That's hard for us. We are very selfish people, aren't we? In our Advent study on Waiting for the Already, we viewed several short minutes of the film, The Nativity. So much so that Michael said, I've got to watch that whole movie. And because of a gift from a dear friend, he and I watched that movie on Friday night. I have to admit, the movie touched me. Have you seen The Nativity? If you haven't, I would encourage you to see it. Now, yes, it has, they've taken some liberties because it is, after all, a film, but it is a very moving story. As we watched it, I felt myself really watching Mary so closely. Perhaps that's because I knew I would be talking about her today. But to watch this young, unmarried, innocent, and humble girl as she was chosen by God to carry the Son of God in her own body and to withstand the ridicule and almost stoning, not to mention the doubt of her own mother and father and her husband-to-be, was both inspiring and meaningful. It brought tears to my eyes as I watched her move throughout the movie. Not because I believe that Mary is to be exalted on high, but because here was a simple girl, young girl. Ladies, do you remember being young girls? Okay, no remarks from the peanut gallery. I remember being a young girl. I can't even imagine what that must have felt like to see an angel. Hello. I mean, you know. And here she is. She wants to play and have fun with other girls her age, but she has been told by an angel that, hey, your world's changed, girlfriend. It's different. It's going to be different. Nobody, not her mother, her father, her husband-to-be, nobody could sway her from the truth that God had sent an angel and she would be the mother of the Son of God. Mary's magnified love of God was made real in her magnified love for her son and her husband. In the movie, when she first meets Joseph, she says, I don't know him. You want me to marry this man and I don't love him? But she grows to love him, just like as the baby in her body grows, she grows to love that baby. as they traveled on some treacherous ground with little food and water. Their love grew for one another, and Joseph's love for the unborn son of God grew as well. In the movie, Mary and Joseph are crossing a river of some sort, and Mary is thrown off the donkey, and Joseph scrambles to reach her. She is in the water. She cannot swim, and she is crying out, Joseph, and he is crying out, Mary. And finally, he reaches and grabs her hand, and he pulls her up on the rock to safety. It is there that you can see the emotions of Joseph. Love, first of all. Fear that he might have lost her, and relief that she is in his arms, safe and sound. You see, Mary was magnified with love, and Joseph was magnified with love, and Elizabeth was magnified with love, and we too should be magnified with love. Amen? Amen. You know, my granddaughter, I talk about her a little bit, my oldest granddaughter. She loves the Grinch movie. Anybody seen the Grinch movie this year? I've seen it like 9,000 times, I think. It feels like that. And if you've never seen the Grinch, by the way, the new one that's at the movie theater is really good. The Grinch's heart grows two sizes. He starts out with a little bitty heart, and it grows two sizes bigger when he realizes that Christmas is really about love, unconditional, unapologetic, and magnificent love. That's what Christmas is about. It's not about toys, and it's not about Christmas trees or flowers or any of those things. It's about love. The love that we share with one another, and the love that God poured down through Mary into Jesus and out to us. And the love that remains with us as we walk through Christmas and share with our families. Yes. Advent is a time of anticipation and waiting and drawing us nearer and nearer to the Christ child. And if we're willing, it's a time to be magnified with love. Dear God, may it be. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Some of you might not be able to be here tomorrow night. Some of you might be leaving in the morning to go be with family. And so I think we should celebrate the joy of Christmas today. After all, the babe has already been born long, long time ago. So let's stand together and give God praise through Joy to the World, number 246.
Joy to the world, the same.
the